The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, or its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you'll end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life. In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me. Today we're going to talk about the essence of my message regarding the Virgin's Covenant. Overview. Virgin's Covenant is critical to understanding sex, marriage, adultery, and divorce. One of the most difficult to explain human organs is the hymen, the membrane that partially seals the entrance to the vagina of a girl or young woman whose vagina has never been penetrated. It appears to serve no useful purpose. This broadcast will explore the deep spiritual significance of this organ. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a general manager. I have nearly 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of about 13, and I served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor in preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program and TV, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's End Time Issue Ministries, one word, for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.oneword.com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop down. For previous broadcasts, or search on Google for quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. So we're going to talk about Article 2021-1105, the essence of my message regarding the Virgin's Covenant. The Virgin's Covenant is critical to understanding sex, marriage, adultery, and divorce. One of the most difficult to explain human organs is the hymen, the membrane that partially seals the entrance to the vagina of a girl or young woman whose vagina has never been penetrated. It appears to serve no useful purpose. In the day-to-day existence of someone who does not believe in the Creator and does not seek to live life according to his commandments, this membrane certainly serves no useful purpose. However, once one understands its real purpose, it becomes apparent that the hymen is a critically important organ in the plans of the Creator for men and women. The hymen evidences that the woman has never engaged in sexual intercourse, and it's therefore spiritually safe for a man to join himself to her. If she has already joined herself to another man, and she now joins herself to a further man, both she and the new man are committing adultery, and if they're believers, they will both face a period in the place of correction known as hell after they die, or could even face a death penalty in this life. This is unless she is divorced in the court of heaven. When a man penetrates a true virgin for the first time, blood is shed and ushers in a lifetime blood covenant in terms of which he accepts responsibility for the well-being of the woman for life, and she accepts that she is one with the man for life. Virginity is an extremely important gift from the Creator and must be given wisely if one is truly committed to serving Him. There are prayers that can be prayed and measures that can be taken in certain cases where virginity has been taken or given unwisely. These are discussed in more detail in the sections that follow. Folks, this is so, so important. And I'll mention this again in a minute, but if you're not a believer, what I'm talking about here is irrelevant to you. This is only relevant if you're a believer. The hymen is the seal of virginity. When it's broken, blood is shed, blood covenant is entered into. And that's an undying covenant. The price of breaking that covenant is death. Although in this age, Father will have mercy on people who do this unwittingly or ignorantly and provide a way out in certain circumstances, which we'll discuss a little bit later. As far as divorce is concerned, there are very specific criteria that are applied by the Court of Heaven with regard to divorce. If those are met, divorce will be granted, and there's certain specific prayers that need to be prayed around that. And I need to stress this is divorce in the Court of Heaven. It's a spiritual divorce granted by the Almighty Creator. And you also need to get a legal divorce. So a legal marriage does have some substance in the Court of Heaven, but it's not overarching. As I said a minute ago, this message is for true believers only. As with all my teachings, this teaching is only for believers. In this case, it is irrelevant to unbelievers, although many of the principles will still apply. This caveat is particularly important in the context of this broadcast. So I've established at a superficial level, and this is much more on the website, that virginity is absolutely sacred and important. When I was collating the material for this article, I came across an article on the BBC on virginity testing. So virginity testing is an abomination in the sight of the Creator. As I was preparing to collate this article regarding the Virgin's Covenant, I encountered a news report relating to virginity testing, in which young girls, presumably Muslim since they were sent to Egypt, were put through extreme physical and emotional discomfort and humiliation to establish their virginity. The article on the BBC website is 59391610. I want to stress that this is not the way the Creator intended things to be, and that such testing is an abomination. As a believing man, it is up to you to turn to the Almighty for guidance on whether to join yourself to a particular woman, and do not rely on intrusive and humiliating physical examination by third parties. I have to say that when I came across this article, I was shocked. It had never occurred to me that people could be so, I don't know what the words are, insensitive, crass. It's just not the way Father intended it to be. Virginity is not some sort of trophy that you capture. They're not going to be 72 virgins waiting for you in heaven if you commit murder. Just the whole mindset that sees women as trophies and so forth is just so off the mark, folks. If a young woman has lost her virginity, the man who took her virginity has responsibilities as outlined below, and if he's not prepared to accept those responsibilities, he must grant her a divorce, in which case the procedure set out in the article on separation of man and woman in covenant should be applied. That's the article Essence of Message, Separation Man and Woman, on the webpage, on the main menu of the website. There's a key point here about girls who are truly believers, with parents who are truly believers, instructing the girl gently and with love about the importance of virginity. There's also a piece here about recognizing the age at which a young woman becomes sexually aware and may start to desire sexual fulfillment, which is generally a lot earlier than the legal age for marriage. Again, this requires gentle and sensitive education in terms of how she can cope with her burgeoning sexuality without getting involved with a man. In such a situation, she may need to learn to masturbate without vaginal penetration. I want to reiterate that any form of virginity testing is an abomination to Father Yah, and it should be avoided at all costs. So we've touched on another point. So there are countries in the world where it's legal to marry young women, take them and consummate with them. That age originally was the age of puberty, when pubic hair first grows, when they first start to become sexually aware. Taking girls of 5 and 7 and what have you, as I've read about recently, is just absolutely off the mark, folks. And frankly, in most societies today, a girl of 13 or 14, which is typically when puberty occurs, might be a little earlier, might be a bit later, depending on circumstances, is generally not desirable. They're not ready to get married at that age. Many thousands of years ago, they were. Today, they're not. You need to help them to cope with their sexuality until they're older and until it's legal for them to marry, which in various countries is 16 or 18. The different virginal states. There are 4 different states of being for a woman which are recognized as virgin by the Court of Heaven for the purpose of this broadcast. First of all, a true physical virgin with her hymen intact. Secondly, a true physical virgin with no hymen but not ruptured through sexual intercourse. Thirdly, a widow whose only husband is deceased, free to enter into a new union. And 4, truly divorced in the Court of Heaven, where all necessary separation processes have been undertaken. See the article on the main web menu, Essence of Message, Separation Man and Woman. So the true physical virgin is relatively straightforward, and generally speaking, a girl of 12, 13, 14, that's probably quite common. By the time a girl gets to 16 or 18 and she's been partaking in physical sports, be it netball, soccer, whatever, there's a real possibility that the hymen will have been ruptured without her having sex. So a missing hymen is not de facto evidence of prior sexual intercourse, and that's important to recognize. Then a widow whose husband is deceased is effectively, again, a virgin in a sense, and a woman who's truly divorced and where the necessary prayers have been prayed is also a virgin in terms of those are the only states of a woman that it's legitimate to have intercourse with on the basis of a lifetime sexual relationship, in other words, marriage. On this point, I want to make it clear that there is no such thing as sex before marriage. I keep encountering people who talk about sex before marriage as though there is such a thing. Fact is that before Daddy Yah, there is either sexual intercourse with a virgin, widow, or truly divorced woman, which equals a lifetime covenant before Yah, which approximates this pagan thing we call marriage, but can take place with many women to one man and does not require any legal document or man-made ceremony. The same applies following some form of ceremony or public taking of vows, which hardly ever happens today. Generally, the couple have intercourse before the ceremony. And then sexual intercourse with any other woman is adultery, and if she's had multiple partners, fornication. The vast majority of legal church marriages today guaranteed a time in hell unless repented of and cleaned up, which is where many believers are headed unless they're told the truth and come to repentance. And by the way, a part in hell for the believing pastor or magistrate or other person who performs the ceremony and purports to stand in the place of Yah. That's it, folks. There are no other options. I hope this gives you clarity on the subject of sex before marriage. There's a huge industry which the church is part of with wedding ceremonies. And that's not the thing. It's a substitute for a righteous sexual covenant between a virgin and a man, whether that virgin is a widow or a true virgin or a truly divorced woman. Then cleave is not adhere. This relates to Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And there's all sorts of wrong thinking and wrong languaging, certainly in the Christian church, about that word cleave. Let me put it in context. A gemstone may have a plane of cleavage such that if we strike a sharp blow to a sharp instrument placed on that plane, the gemstone will split open. Women have a cleavage, a cleft between their breasts. Butchers use meat cleavers, large cutting blades that they use to cleave, cut the meat into portions. How does the word cleave mean adhere, which is a common Christian teaching? It means adhere because Christianity has, for the most part, lost sight of the true meaning, and the true meaning nullifies what the church teaches and practices. A woman has another cleft. It is between her legs, and it's obviously a cleft. That cleft has the outward appearance of a wound cut with a knife or cleaver, and when that cleft is first penetrated, that is, when it is cleaved, blood is shed. That organ exactly replicates the covenant act of splitting open the covenant animal and walking in the blood that signifies the formation of a covenant and which signifies that there's a death penalty for breaking the covenant. Folks, this is so important. There's so much wrong thinking in society today about virginity and marriage and so forth. I would really urge you to get a fix on this. So I say again, Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cut into his wife with the shedding of blood, and they shall be one flesh. That was Father's divine intent when he created men and women, that should be the case. Inherently, this means that a blood covenant is cut between a man who cleaves into a woman with the shedding of blood, and that therefore sexual intercourse always was and always will be the act of cutting covenant, and repeated intercourse is a rehearsal of the act of cutting covenant. The silence of the church on the sanctity and importance of virginity is compounded by verbiage that associates cleave with adhere, which is necessary because the church lies about virginity and pretends that the pastor or priest has some authority to pronounce a covenant union, marriage. Sexual intercourse is a sacred covenant act, and it should be treated as such. Yes, it can give great pleasure, but first and foremost, it is a covenant act. Labeling it adhere or stick to is absolutely not valid. I came across this close to 30 years ago as one of the first areas where I came to understand that there was significant error in the Christian church. In the years that followed, I came across a lot of other errors, and these are discussed in some detail on the website. If you go looking, there are all sorts of pages about the true name of the Creator, about the true Sabbath, about Christmas and Easter not being feasts that are recognized by Father, they're pagan, they're evil, that we should observe the true Sabbaths of the Almighty, and so on and so on and so forth. There's a huge amount on the website around this, and I encourage you to go and dig in. So that's www.endtimeissueministries.org, endtimeissueministries.org. Endtimeissue Ministries is one word. Coming back to the Virgin's Covenant, I'm periodically contacted by women believers who are in abusive marriages or relationships, asking what they should do. In each case on inquiry, it turns out that the man who took their virginity was not the man they're married to or in a relationship with. Sometimes they're even still in contact with the man who took their virginity. The simple answer in many cases is that notwithstanding whatever church or civil marriage rite they may have been through with their present man or husband, they were still in covenant with the first man in the sight of Yah and in the sight of the spirit world, and therefore they were in adultery with the man they called husband or partner, with the result that spiritually these men were entitled to treat them roughly because they were legally in the spirit realm regarded as whores in the spirit realm. And the satanic and specifically demonic realm therefore had full rights to attack their unions and the women. The further theoretically simple answer is that they should return to the man who took their virginity, or they should get a divorce from that man. There are processes elsewhere on the website with the discussion of cutting marriage ties that give you prayers and processes, but simply that means that the woman should go back to the man who took her virginity if she can contact them. Say, look, I've realized this. You took my virginity. You're my husband in the sight of the Creator, and I'm asking you to take me back. 99 times out of 100, he'll tell her to get lost, and she's crazy. She can then go to the court of heaven and say, Father, you heard me. I asked this man to take me as his wife. He refuses. I ask you to release me from this union and to cut off the one flesh bonds between me and that man. Once that's done, you can reconsummate with your present husband or partner. Just make sure that's the right thing to do. Problem with this answer that I've just given you is that our society does not understand it or agree with it, and in one case it would have meant the man having two women because he was living with another woman whose virginity had also taken. There was no way that other woman was going to share her husband. In another case, it turned out that the woman left her covenant man, the man to whom she gave her virginity, because he was not to her liking and did not measure up to her standards religiously. And in other words, the problem is that in terms of covenant, that is not acceptable. Why do I say this? Very simply, Yah created women with a hymen, a thin membrane that partially covers the entrance to the vagina. In most instances, it is necessary to rupture the hymen in order to have sexual intercourse with full penetration, so that the first time intercourse occurs. When this happens, blood is generally shed, and we've spoken quite a bit about this already. So it's so important to understand, folks, the world we live in today regards multiple sexual partners as the norm. It's acceptable. Even within the Christian church, people turn a blind eye to it. 100 years ago, you'd have shotgun marriages and people getting really beaten up for taking a girl's virginity today. It just happens. And everybody sort of says, well, that's the way it is. And part of it is that women are ready to have sex at the age of 12 or 13 or 14. And they're only allowed to get married at the age of 16 or 18. So all sort of things go wrong in the intervening period. There are exceptions, particularly with older women and with women who've engaged in strenuous sports or women who've inserted absorbent items in their vagina during menstruation. However, the fundamental principle is that Yah created women to bleed when they first have sexual intercourse with vaginal penetration. Once the hymen is ruptured, it cannot heal and is therefore only possible for a woman to give her virginity and shed blood once. The hymen is therefore a form of safety seal, which evidences that a woman is a virgin. This is critical because the shedding of blood is a fundamental component of entering into covenant. So we see that Yah created women with the fundamental intent of women covenanting with their man, and since they can only shed blood once of covenant with only one man. On the other hand, males have no corresponding seals. So there's this very important principle, and it's largely lost in our society today. And then you get the other extreme where in certain religions, notably in certain variants of Islam, virginity is highly prized, and then you get this absolutely horrible practice of taking young women and examining them internally by force to establish whether they're still virgins or not, and then potentially doing really ugly things to them if perhaps they've ruptured their hymen through some other reason than sexual intercourse. The fact that the hymen has been ruptured doesn't necessarily mean that a woman's had sexual intercourse today. 2,000-3,000 years ago, it might have done today. Certainly not the case with absorbent tampons, etc. And also by marrying later with menstruation, etc. It's very likely that the hymen will be ruptured. So a man can take the virginity of any number of women, and there's no evidence that he's done this. Accordingly, it's evident that Yah created men that they might covenant with more than one woman. The fact that our society, or certainly Eurocentric society, is unable to accept this, and that social and demonic programming has produced generations of Christian and Western women who cannot conceive of or tolerate the possibility of sharing their man, is a harsh reality, which gives rise to a situation where it is extremely inadvisable for a man to try and enter into covenant with more than one woman, unless those women are all voluntarily and willingly ask him to do this. See the case studies in the appendix at the end of this article, the essence of my message regarding sex, for cases where it seems this might work. Insofar as this article is not about the merits and fundamental reality that Yah created men to be in covenant with a number of women, I will not discuss this further in this article. There are a number of articles on the website and an ebook that discuss this topic in much more detail. So it is so that polygyny, not polygamy — polygamy is many men with many women, polygyny is one man with more than one woman — is permissible and acceptable in the sight of Yah. It's just extremely difficult to make it work in European society or Eurocentric society. And that's kind of spread out throughout the world. So in most societies today, women are not prepared to share their husband. In Islam, they're still practicing up to four wives. But in a lot of cases, that's not working very well either. There are some that do work where they are close to father. There are a lot that don't work. My main point is that sexual intercourse with a virgin is a covenant act, and that whether we like it or not, at the moment the blood is shed, a covenant is entered into that is intended to be unbreakable and for life. The only basis for severance of the covenant is extreme treachery by one of the partners, which includes but is not limited to adultery, that is, the woman having sexual intercourse with another man. Note that consummation during menstrual flow defiles the covenant. That is not safe sex. Yah forbids intercourse during menstrual flow and for some time before and after. In practice, based on humble supplication, Yah may grant divorce such that a severance of the covenant divorce may be granted under particular circumstances, such that the woman may enter into covenant with another man through sexual intercourse in the form of ejaculation in the vagina by the man. There's no shedding of blood, but the semen contains all the genetic elements of blood as well as containing salt. So a form of blood covenant and a salt covenant are entered into. Note that these elements are also present in the covenant with the virgin. There is another basis for divorce, and that is if you've got very clearly defined a marital agreement, covenant agreement, which says A, B, C, and D, and if one partner clearly breaks one of those clauses, then that becomes a matter for divorce. So if a man and woman, both of whom have not had other sexual partners, enter into a sexual life covenant, and before they enter into covenant, she says, I want you to covenant with me that you will only have me as your wife, that you won't take more than one wife. If the man then agrees to that, and they consummate, and then later he goes and takes another woman, that becomes the basis for divorce. And that's clean and clear cut. If he's done it, father will grant a divorce. To better understand this discussion, it is important to know that the reason that there's always blood in the consummation of a covenant, whether sexually with a virgin or any other form of covenant, is that the terms of the covenant are fundamentally, if you break this covenant, you will die. There's an article on the website, 2011-01-06, The Blood of Any Covenant Means Death to Those Who Break It. Thus, in strict terms, the only basis for being released from a covenant is if one partner dies or commits a sin that leads to death at a level that is beyond repentance. In any situation less than this, the covenant may not be set aside by the court of heaven. In addition to this, there are very specific terms that Yah prescribes for the covenant between a man and a woman through the shedding of the virgin's blood that can be overwritten only by agreement before the blood is shed. These terms can be understood through the example set by Yeshua and what is set out in Ephesians 5 and elsewhere. So there's a lot of complexity associated with the virgin's covenant, and as you understand the virgin's covenant, you will get to understand a lot more of why things happen between men and women, why marriages fail, marriages in inverted commas, because they're not, they're adultery, fail, why abusive, you know, seemingly quite nice men suddenly become abusive to the partner in a relationship. There's a whole complexity here that I'm just touching on the surface of just to make you aware of it. There is a bit more on this on the website, but again, just pray about it and just see what you can do. So if we look at the terms of the covenant, the default terms of the covenant as laid out by Yah, man, lead your woman closer to Yah. A fundamental principle is that the man shall always be manifestly closer to Yah than the woman, else when she looks to a man, she looks away from Yah. Love her even if she beats you, flogs you, and nails you to a stake, the way the people did to Yeshua. Treat her gently and tenderly. Provide for her. Make love to her tenderly and skillfully. Give her lots of orgasms. Accept her the way she is when you covenant with her, and do not try and change her. Comply with any specific terms you may have agreed before consummation. Additional terms are not necessary. The previous terms apply unless you contract out before consummation. Most women today would want their man to agree to monogamy. The default terms do not include monogamy. They include polygyny, more than one woman with one man. It is important to be absolutely clear on this point before consummation. If he's having sex with other women at the time that he consummates with you, do not be surprised when he continues to do this subsequently. You will have no basis to complain unless you covenanted exclusive monogamy and he broke off all the ties with these other women beforehand. Break this covenant and you will die. Through grace in this age, this clause is mitigated in most but not all cases. I know of one instance where a woman had one, thought she was divorced, wasn't divorced, had intercourse one time and died a horrible death because she was judged for her adultery. So you need to be very, very careful about this. Vows in church after consummation mean absolutely nothing, and the flowery, lovey-dovey vows that a lot of people pray in church are pretty useless when it comes to this. This needs to be specific to the point, we'll do this, won't do this, we'll do this, won't do this, boom, 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 and then live it out. And don't go in with whims, don't go with something that you read in some airy-fairy book. Go with what Father says, as I've just specified for man. And if you need to make adjustments, make adjustments. You can always give me a, drop me an email if you want some guidance. Then the woman, the terms, the default terms of the covenant for the woman: follow your man wherever he goes and promote him towards Yah. Love him and submit to him in everything, even if he requires you to be beaten, flogged, and nailed to a stake, like with Yeshua, the same situation reversed. Honor and adore him. Support him and work with him in all his endeavors. Bear his children and raise them. Make love to him passionately and skillfully. Keep yourself to him only sexually. Accept him the way he is when you covenant with him, and do not try and change him. If he was in the habit of getting drunk before you consummated, accept that he will get drunk again. Comply with any specific terms you may have agreed before consummation. Additional terms are not necessary. The previous terms apply unless you contract out before consummation. Break this covenant, you will die again mitigated through grace, most times in the present generation. I do know of cases where a person has died for breaking covenant, as I mentioned a minute ago. So, folks, that's really important stuff. You can change most of the things that I've given you if you explicitly put them down, agree them, put them in paper, lay them before Yah, and say, Father, before we consummate, we are committing to the following terms of our union. And then live it out. So if you want the woman to be the head of the house and the man to stay home and do the dishes, that's fine. Just make sure that you covenant beforehand. Don't covenant on the default terms and then tell him that you expect him to stay home and for you to be the breadwinner. Notice that there's no way out, no way to say but he or but she. Once you've entered into covenant, you are in it literally until death do us part, be it physical death or be it spiritual death. Over the years, I've heard of all sorts of exclamations about how unjust this is. The fact is, it's only unjust because you've been lied to comprehensively, and people just think they're having a good time because they loved or lusted one another. If they'd known the truth, it is likely that most men and women would not have given and taken virginity nearly so easily, and mostly not to the person that they did. So there's a whole piece here of ignorance, folks. And there's a piece about be very, very careful about who you sexually join yourself to for the first time. Be absolutely sure that this is the person you want to spend the rest of your life on. Do some due diligence. Enlist the help of your parents to help you choose. If your mother or father says this is not the right girl for you or not the right guy for you, listen to them. They might know something you don't know. There's a big piece about you make a commitment and then you make it work. So the thing you need to find out before you have sex is, am I willing to take this person as they are and make it work? And if it's a bit iffy, a bit uncertain, back off. Don't do it. If you have to go and masturbate, but don't have sex until you're absolutely sure that you want to spend the rest of your life with that person. If one understands covenant, one will make absolutely certain before one engages in sexual intercourse and will evaluate the other party and establish exactly what they stand for and what they believe. The parties will agree any terms he considers important and she considers important. They will exclude any of the terms above they do not agree with. Understand that the parties accept each other with all their undisclosed weaknesses, addictions, vices, etc. So they should pray and make sure that they're certain the relationship is yours leading before consummating. If a couple want to reverse roles and have her lead, they're at liberty to do that, provided they do it before they consummate. If one wants to serve Satan instead of Yah, one is free to agree that before consummation. But note, however, that a believer joining themselves to an unbeliever, let alone a Satanist, is an abomination in the sight of Yah, and if you're guilty of this, you should divorce immediately. But if the woman wants to serve Yah and he wants to serve Satan, and they do not discuss it before consummation, then it is his covenant right to expect submission. And if he beats her and torments her and forces her into prostitution and to use drugs and to enter into satanic rites, he's entitled to, because those are the terms of the covenant, submit in everything. Folks, it's a big subject. We're about halfway through the article. It's on the website if you want to go to the website, Essence of Message, Revergence Covenant, on the main menu of the website. I will continue with this in the next broadcast next week. In the meantime, I encourage you, if you have had sex with multiple partners, if you gave or took your virginity to somebody that you're not currently in union with, there's some cleaning up to be done. It can be cleaned up, and there is material on the site, web page about divorce and separation. As a postscript, the biggest error crippling believers, as a codicil to this article, please read the web page, Biggest Error Crippling Mature Anointed Believers. And that's summed up by the statement, you are not a glove puppet. You're not a string puppet either. Yah is not going to take control of your life as so many people teach and believe. Yah created you to take dominion over the forces of darkness. Yah created you to exercise your intellect and ability to survive and thrive on earth, not for him to live your life for you. You will determine your destiny when you die. It's a function of what you choose to believe, choose to do, and how well you do it. So prosperity requires that you work hard, sensibly, and effectively to earn your living. I can't stress this enough. There is so much wrong teaching and wrong thinking about this topic. I encourage you to read the article. There's this tendency to believe Yah is directing everything. It's inherent in the belief that the Bible is the word of God, that everybody in the Bible was just playing out a role foreordained before the beginning of the earth. It's not right, folks. Father created us to be his friends, not to be some manipulated, controlled toy. So I encourage you, let go of those wrong thoughts, take responsibility for your life, take charge, and work on getting close to Father, work on being led by his Spirit, work on getting on your knees and hearing from him in terms of important decisions. But you have to take the decisions. You have to exercise and execute those decisions. So what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, fundamentally, beyond all things, the reason you exist, the reason I exist, the reason all the people around us exist is to be friends with the Almighty, to talk to him, to listen to him, to dialogue with him, to do things with him, to involve him in their lives, to worship at all times, to pray, get on your knees, get to know him, get to be used by him, get out there and touch the world around you. Become a friend. Qualify for a high throne in heaven for eternity because you have gone above and beyond to build a relationship with him, to serve him, and to do what's important to him. There's so much thinking that God is there to do what you want him to do. No, you are here to do what he wants you to do. And above all, he wants you to become his friend. He wants you to turn your life around and say to him, Father, yeah, James says I can become your friend. I choose to become your friend. There's an article on the website, Seven Components of Drawing Close. Read it, put it into practice. There's a hang of a lot of good material there. So some key documents and a video on the website, compendium of important articles, video, Why Seek Relationship, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Where Will You Spend Eternity, The Essence of My Message to Christians, Muslims, Jews, etc., all available at www.endtimemissionministries.org. That's Endtime Ministries, one word. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's one word, relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts, or search in Google for quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. Those are all across the top row of the website main page. The Google search is particularly powerful. You've got a useful subset of Google search functionality to search the entire website. There are but more than 1,000 web pages and around 2,500 articles, all of which are accessible through the Google search. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list, also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone, so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, he wants to become your friend. He wants you to become his friend. He wants you to understand him. He wants to dialogue with you. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, whether you're old or young, whether you're thin or fat. It doesn't matter whether you're blonde with blue eyes or whether you've got black hair and brown eyes or anything in between. It doesn't matter if you're African, Asian, Indian, European, whatever. It doesn't matter if you're a Satanist or an archbishop. It doesn't matter your education, any of those things. He will meet you where you are today. And he will help you to journey from where you are to where he wants you to be. Look at the article, Seven Components of Drawing Close. It's about 70 A4 pages. It's available for download as a PDF if you go to the book section of the website, and just go for it, folks. He wants you to be his friend. That's all I've got time for tonight. Thank you so much. Good night. Father, I come.